it's now time for a very nitro-fueled edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into a friend, which games to simply pass on by. I'm Corey. I'm joined by...
Bronson. Big B.
It's a mystery. It is a mystery. Everyone was thought it was going to be Basher, and then it wasn't Basher. And he's also white.
It started with the same first letter. We were getting somewhere with
that's
that.
True.
But
first two letters. It was like, bruh. That's what we should have done. I should have been like, bruh. And then you should have came in. It would have been a lot more epic.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe that. Next time.
But we did. Well, they won't work next time. It's like we had one opportunity. We M&M'd it. And then we blew it.
It's all right. All right.
This is Bronson. He is a friend of mine. He's going to be filling in for Basher in some of these episodes because you know what? Basher just doesn't like any of you.
You know what? Fuck Basher. That's what I got to say. I'm just kidding. That was mean.
Wow.
Sorry, Basher.
You don't even know him, bro.
Yeah, I don't. Basher,
no, he doesn't listen to this show.
He's on it, but doesn't he doesn't care enough to go back and listen.
No, there was a couple times where like I put up like an audio mistake or like I, you know, something got unsynced or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, John told me that this isn't working. I was like, oh, so your friend listens and tells me what's wrong, not you. So
that's funny.
We're here to talk about Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. I had the thing up. This isn't available on PC, so I got to go to the website, and I accidentally closed the window. But did you know that you can let us know what you think about Crash Team Racing, or Basher, I guess, 574-651-9256. You can text that number. You can call that number, and then you can, like, leave a message. Oh, man, I'm trying to do this on the air, and I don't remember my password. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. Here are the details. Crash is back in the driver's seat. Get ready to go full throttle with Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. It's the authentic CTR experience plus a whole lot more, now fully remastered and revved up to the max. Start your engines with the original game modes, characters, tracks, power-ups, weapons, and controls. Power slide to glory and additional karts, tracks, and arenas from Crash Nitro Kart. Race online with friends and crash the competition with online leaderboards. I see what they're doing here.
Yeah.
With Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, the stakes are high and the competition is fierce. It's the CTR you love, now kicked into the highest gear. Certain elements and functionality require internet activity and Xbox Live Gold subscription sold separately. This is available on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. This is not available on PC. This is the first time in a long time we've had a game that is not available on both. What are you doing, Activision/Microsoft? This game, or Beenox, I guess, in this instance, they developed it. What are you doing? Put this on PC. It kind of needs it, and we'll talk about it.
It has
online co-op. It is Xbox One X enhanced, so you will get those features. I believe it was like a full fat 4K. On One X, so on Series X, you'll also get that. It does also have HDR support. You'll get that. I did not play online, so I'm assuming the servers are still up, but I wonder if anyone's playing it. I don't.
They are up. So I was actually able to find some games pretty quickly. I mean, it wasn't like instant, but I mean, given the fact that the game came out, it's been like 5 years now, right? Something like that.
2019, June 20th, 2019.
God,
and since this doesn't have how long to beat, because this is on the website and not the app, I don't know how long to beat it is. So Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. Let's talk about it. So this is an interesting one because I guess we're going to cheat a little bit and say you love this game.
Yeah.
This is an all-time great for you. So... I'm curious, what's your experience? I'm assuming you probably played it on the PlayStation back in the day.
Yeah, so, it holds up to itself and to its originality and original format from the PlayStation. They didn't change a whole lot going forward with the project. But, man, I'll never forget racing Nitrous Oxide on the PS1 back in the day as a kid. Me and my brother, man, it's just core memories for me, and to be honest, as I sat there playing the remake, racing Nitrous Oxide again, I felt like I was just that little kid, you know, in my element. The only thing I was lacking was my brother sitting next to me, but it definitely it wasn't short of an amazing time. Pleasurable experience, to say the least, with the game as a whole. I definitely
so
beat
hey,
it.
I want to back up a little bit. So I guess I don't know enough about this game. Is this two games in one?
Can elaborate.
Like, was there two Crash Team Racing games on PlayStation?
So they had, what did they have? They had, they had some weird, not knockoff necessarily ones, but they definitely tried to, what was it? Nitro Kart, I think, was on the PS2, right? I'm pretty sure.
I know Crash Team Racing, but like the Nitro Fueled part is the one that I'm confused about, because when I was playing the game, it seemed like they had like taken elements from something else.
Nitro Kart, Corey. That was 2003 is when that came out. So there technically, I guess back in the day was two games. I never played Nitro Kart personally, but I know it was. I don't know. It was a downgrade, I would say, from CTR. But it wasn't horrible. I don't know. I never played it, so I can't speak upon it. But two games in one, I don't really see that, personally.
So there's nothing from Nitro Kart in this, essentially, is what you're saying.
I really wish I could speak more on that. But again, beings I've never really played Nitro Kart, I don't know if they stripped it or grabbed any elements from that game and put it into the remake. So.
Let's see if the internet knows. There was something about it that I was reading it, and it was... maybe it was the description on Xbox or something, but something it was like combining elements from something and something. I was like, was there two games? Like I had only seen CTR, and I was not a PlayStation kid, so like I didn't play that until much later in life.
So
you were, people don't know you, but were you a PlayStation kid? Was that you?
Yeah, I was, man. I grew up with my first like legit console was a PS1. It's definitely the one I got the most memories with. Next up is PS2. So, yeah, I was definitely a PlayStation kid.
Yeah, see, I got to PlayStation late, and I was that person that bought the PS1. Like, it was actually called a PS1, not a PlayStation. It was a little white one. It was like the...
I know what you're talking about.
Slim version. Yeah, it was like $50. I bought one of those to play Final Fantasy VIII, and then... like I just played nothing but Final Fantasy VIII and Yu-Gi-Oh! Forbidden Memories, and then I sold it. So that was weird.
And that was a double disc, I'm pretty sure, that game. I know it had like a bigger box for the case.
No, yeah, it actually wasn't a double disc, and that's why I remember getting it and there wasn't a second disc.
Huh.
I was like, why? Like, was it supposed to be at one point maybe? And they were just like, oh shoot, we didn't have to do two discs. I don't know. Pro tip for that game, if you want to do the 3D battles, you press square instead of X. 11-year-old or 13-year-old me, however I was, for the life of me, could not figure out how to get the 3D battles to work, and then I figured it out.
So I didn't even know that game had 3D battles, and I owned that game.
Yeah, if instead of when you're attacking a card, if you press square instead of X, it'll go into 3D battles. And so like I looked on the back of the box, and I was like, how do I do that? And it's in the instruction manual, believe it or not, but nobody reads those. But it's like tucked away in one little part. It's like, if you wish to view the 3D battles, press square. And I was like, oh my God. But you know what? It kind of sucks because it takes forever to load and it looks like trash. So that's where
Duelist of the Roses comes into play. Now that game is, yeah, that's a freaking gem, man. I don't know if you ever played that, but,
oh, I finished that. Yeah. And we played the multiplayer on that, 'cause you could do like the two players or whatever. And,
yeah.
But so they would hide the cards with numbers or whatever. But you could still cheat, because like if you just memorize the numbers. And so I have like vivid memories of like one person like sitting on friend's bed, and it's like, okay, turn around, like you can't see what I'm doing. And so that's how we would play it. So this is not about Yu-Gi-Oh! Although that Yu-Gi-Oh! God, what's it called? Collection, I think that just came out. Yu-Gi-Oh! Early Days Collection also just hit. And that, I think that has Duelist of the Road.
No, I'm pretty sure that's strictly Game Boy games.
You are correct. But some of those are bangers, like Sacred Cards. Sacred Cards is a phenomenal game. If you are a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan, you haven't played the Sacred Cards, it is dope. I also played Dark Duel Stories. I don't know if you ever played that. That was like the Game Boy Color, and that game had weird rules. Like every once in a while, like if you played Mystic Space Typhoon, it just wouldn't work. Anyways, Crash Team Racing. I discovered that this is a strict remaster of Crash Team Racing. It does not have anything from Nitro in it. So there you go. But yeah, so I was new to this one. This is obviously a Mario Kart clone. We don't need to dance around it. And so I really wasn't sure what to expect. And I am not a PlayStation guy. I do like Crash. I like Crash 1. I like Crash 2. But I never really got farther than that. Ratchet and Clank was always the PlayStation franchise that sort of called to me, and Crash was not. Although I guess Crash became a different franchise. It was kind of on everything eventually. But I'm also really not a... Are you a Mario Kart person?
Yeah,
Are you a racer?
Arcade racer. I wouldn't say I play... I hate, like... I don't get along well with, like, Forza. What is it? The motorsport ones. Like, I love Horizon and stuff because, again, it's that arcade feel. But when it comes to racing games, yeah, I'm strictly arcade. But Mario Kart, I dove pretty deep into Mario Kart, man. I mean, I unlocked, Golden Mario and all that jazz and stuff like that, which I think requires you to beat all the courses on 200cc. I can't recall if that's correct or not.
And
but
you have to have perfect. You have to do a perfect run. You have to be first in every.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mario Kart 8 is definitely the one. Like, I played Mario Kart Wii and stuff when it came out, but like kart racers in general. I mean, let me take that back. Anybody that's a 90s kid or from that era, there's a good chance you played Mario Kart 64 and you played freaking, what's that, the Battle Dome or whatever. And so, like, that was kind of my exposure, but we never really played Mario Kart, if that makes sense. But then Mario Kart Wii came out. And so, like, I never, like, oddly enough, what's the Sega one? Sega Racing All-Stars or something like that? That's the one that actually I dove into the most. And a lot of people would probably consider that one to be, like, one of the weaker entries. So I just didn't have a lot to go on in Crash Team Racing. And I'm not going to lie, when I first played it, I was kind of annoyed with it. And the reason was because, and maybe I'm just dumb, but is the drifting in this game kind of difficult at first, or am I just dumb?
I never had an issue with it, but I guess my opinion is quite biased given the fact that I played the original, like, a lot. So, like, I guess what were you confused with, or what do you think was difficult?
It was the fact that, so, like, you have to jump to start your drift. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right.
So after you jump, but then to do the, like, boost, like, the little bar goes up, to do the boost, you have to press another button on the controller. So, like, that, I could not figure that out. I was very confused. Because the little head pops up. I don't know the character's names. I'm sorry. The little head pops up and he's like, hey, just do the boost thing and, like, you'll boost. I was like, cool. So then I kept drifting. And the game is very obtuse and I don't like it. It's like, fail. Every time I fail, it just yelled fail at me. And I was like, you know what? I'm already a failure. You don't have to tell me. And so once I figured it out, I was like, okay. Like, this isn't... What I really do like is the timing aspect of it. Because, like, Mario Kart and, if I remember, Racing Transformed, there really isn't, like, there's a timing aspect of your drift, but when it comes to actually hitting the boost, you just have to let go of the drift and it'll boost as long as you're sort of, as long as you got, you know, boost built up or whatever. But this is actually pretty neat in where it's got three different times that you can boost. And if you hit all three, if you hit perfect on all three, you get an even bigger boost if I'm looking at it correctly. And that was, like, an element to where it drove me nuts at first, but then as I got better at it, I was like, this is actually pretty cool. Like, there's more skill to this one involved than I anticipated. And Mario Kart's one of those games where it's like, it's super easy to pick up and play, but to master it is pretty hard. But this one, I think even the skill ceiling's even deeper than that. So, but yeah, that was my first experience. Now, obviously you played the original, but when you first played the remaster, what was your take?
I thought it was comfortable. The fact that you do get more than one boost is pretty cool. I could see where your standpoint is coming from, like you said, someone who never played the original and had no huge experience with that. And coming from Mario Kart, I could see why you'd be like, oh, why do I have to jump first to drift and then smack the other button three times to continue my boost into this drift? Like, what's up with that? So I understand where you're coming from, where the mechanics of that could be a little frustrating at first, but my experience is I love it. I think it's neat. There's a lot of little tweaks too that you can do to that in terms of when to hit your boosts that will help you further along, especially when doing, like, time challenges and stuff like that, because those time challenges, man, they're hard sometimes, man. I definitely didn't complete all of them, but I'm a fan of the mechanic, so.
Yeah, that was the other part that I found pretty interesting was, so it does have kind of like a, I'll call it like a story mode, but I mean, that's essentially what it is, to where there's like little hubs that you're on and you drive to the different things.
Yeah.
But then after you beat the level, you can go back to, I don't know if it's every level, but I think it's most of them. There's two other things that you can do. One's like a, like gather the crystals or whatever. And if I'm correct, they just take like a section of the map and kind of gate it off, and then you just have to figure it out. But also, it seems like they add stuff to the map too. Like, I don't remember there being, like, the first one I did had like a new bridge or something that I could go off of. And that was interesting. And then the other one is, like you said, it's like a time trial, but it's not, where the time is like, let's say, like a minute 17 or whatever. That's for the full race, and it's a 3-lap race. But it, there's boxes on the track to where, yeah, if you hit those, it's like, let's say it's 3 or whatever, it stops the clock for 3 seconds. So it becomes like this, you have to also, the boxes don't respawn either. So there's almost a strategy to it, of which box do I hit, or I just need to hit all the boxes essentially, to get the cross or whatever for it. And that was, I guess I just didn't expect that in a good way. I was like, oh wow, there's actually like a lot more here than I anticipated. And it's, Sonic Racing had a little bit of that stuff, but this game actually seems like it's catered towards more single player, which is like the exact opposite of Mario Kart, which is interesting. And honestly, like I was surprised by that, and that's probably what hooked me the most, was like, this is actually like a single player racing game.
Yeah, it almost, didn't Diddy Kong Racing follow that same same trope where it was like you drove to your levels and stuff, or no?
That sounds right. Man, I haven't played Diddy Kong Racing in a long time. But yeah, keep talking. I'm gonna look it up though.
I never really played it either. So funnily enough, when we were kids, me and my brothers, the N64, I think the PS1 just came out when we had this experience. But anyway, Family Video near us when it was a thing, I think my dad rented their N64 or something from there. And when the PS1 was like fully announced and stuff like that, he took the N64 back and decided not to get that and went with the PS1 instead. So that's why I never really had that experience with the 64 nor Diddy Kong Racing. But I do know Diddy Kong Racing was well loved.
A lot of people did that.
Yeah. I mean,
I stuck with Nintendo. I was that kid. But yeah, it does. So it doesn't look like it's nearly as robust as, I mean, that would make sense. Well, I guess they were actually at the same time now that I think about it. It doesn't look nearly as robust as that, but no, definitely. Like, there's like a, you can definitely drive around like a mini hub world in Diddy Kong Racing.
I thought so.
Yeah, and that was, I've definitely played Diddy Kong Racing, but I just remember being like really terrible at that game. And it might have just been because I was like 8. So that's very possible. So also, it does not look good. Like, obviously, this is blown up and this is like, but holy crap, the aliasing, N64, right? So yeah, like it has a lot of that stuff that I guess I just didn't know this was here. Like, I expected this to just be more like a straight Mario Kart ripoff. And so that was actually pretty, I don't say surprising, but it was. But it was, I'm not the biggest kart racer fan in the world, but I ended up playing this for significantly longer than I anticipated just because of those elements that almost collect-a-thon completionist brain, to where, like you said, in Mario Kart 8, it's like, yeah, just like do the tracks better or just do the tracks faster. And like, you'll like, that's it. And this game's like, okay, no, we're actually going to try new things. And that, it's a little thing. I'm going to say it's a little thing. It's a direction that they need to talk about more. Like, I don't know if people know this. Do people know that this is more than just a kart racer? Because I feel like if they did, it would have sold more. But then granted, if they did a remaster, then clearly people played it. But I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm looking up sales right now. I'm just curious.
No, you're fine. I'm just like trying to think, like, as a kid, if I really like thought about that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, to me now, I know it so well that I didn't like really think that it was more than a kart racer. You know what I mean? Like, especially in comparison to Mario Kart. Because you're right, it literally had a story to it. Like, I think that's just kind of cool looking at it now. So you opened up a whole new perspective world for me for this game, and makes me want to play it even more now and really, really pay attention to it. So
2.3 million copies total of the original. Also, this came out on the N-Gage. What?
That I didn't know.
I want to look that up, because that's got to be Oh, that's got to be ugly. Also came out on the GBA. Did not know that. That's interesting. So, in particular to the remaster, it's built in, I think it's Unreal Engine. It looks very similar to the Crash Team, or not Crash, I'm sorry. Yeah, Crash, but not Crash Team. What's it called? Crash. Insane Trilogy. So it's built on that engine, so it looks really good. So the one thing I will say that kind of, this game should run at 60 frames. I don't know why it doesn't, and I don't know why there's not a PC version. And it, you get over it. But there is a fluidity that is sometimes missing, and I like. All right, am I wrong, or is the AI super cheap in this game?
Oh no, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, like I feel like sometimes when I needed to win, like because you can't progress unless you get first. Like I just had to get lucky. Well, you know, like a guy got hit or something like that. Because it's like, man, sometimes these AI, they just don't miss. Like they just hit every turn. I'm like, oh, okay.
Honestly, that's kind of maybe because I was younger and wasn't as good at video games, but it's kind of how the original was too. I mean, it was not super easy.
So there's difficulties to this game. Have you played the other difficulties?
I don't think so. I think I just played on the default difficulty, to be honest with you, and I don't want to test my patience and fate to try to race nitrous oxide on a higher difficulty because he's already a pain in the ass. So
that's what I would want to do. Like I just played it on normal, but like you, I'm like, I don't know if I want this to be more difficult because these people are already pretty cheap. But that's, yeah. And it's, that's the big one that stuck out to me. It was like, sometimes this AI is like super cheap and I mean, it's got a quick restart and all that stuff. So it's not that bad, but you know, whereas Mario Kart or other kart racers, they typically just have rubber banding AI to where it's like, even if you get super far ahead of them, they're going to catch up. You know, it purposely makes them faster, et cetera. That way you always kind of feel like you're racing. But this is more like freaking Forza or Gran Turismo. It's just like, this dude's half a lap ahead and I will not catch this guy. Like, I could hit every turn perfectly right now and I will not catch him. And so that's a little frustrating. But at the same time, that means most of the time, that means I sucked and I screwed up a turn or something like that. But also, it does have that Mario Kart BS of just like, dude, I just got hit by a bomb and then I got hit by a rocket and then I got hit by this potion thing. And then like, oh, OK, now I'm in last. Well,
yeah, that's one thing that I do hate about kart racers. So like, I think that item usage, yeah, it's a staple for kart racers, of course. But like, I think that it almost ruins the skill set that you could have as like as playing a kart racer, like just what you just said, like, oh, hell yeah, I'm in first place. And then like you get blue shelled or something, right? Like I guess that's why coin running in like Mario Kart 8 is super important. Because obviously if you have, what is it? I think if you have a coin in your first slot, I think your second slot automatically gets you like a green shell. But anyways, that's, I just think it takes away from the skill level of the racing, aspect in general, and it can just completely screw you. So when I play with friends and stuff, I always turn off item usage.
That was gonna be my question. I was like, can you actually turn off item usage? Cause that would be.
I don't know.
It reminds me of like Smash Brothers, because like Smash Brothers, that's how there's two types of Smash matches, right? It's like, are you going to take this seriously, turn off all items, or are you just going to have Pokeballs all day long? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like which one are you picking? And I'm Pokeballs all day long because I'm good at Smash, but that's not the point. But yeah, no, I'm with you of just like, yeah, it really does. And it's, I don't think this game is nearly as bad as Mario Kart though, because like Mario Kart's like, hey, if you're in first, the blue shell, you're going to get hit, you know?
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, I don't know, but it also doesn't seem like it has that, I don't know what you want to call it, like bias, whatever. So like if you're in first in Mario Kart, you're not going to get certain items. It just will not give it to you. This doesn't seem to have that. Am I crazy?
I don't know, actually.
Interesting. I kind of want to Google that.
Yeah.
But the items don't seem nearly as race changing. You know, like a lightning bolt can definitely like change the entire outcome of a Mario Kart race. And I just don't feel like there's a item here that will drastically change the race, which is, in my opinion, a good thing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one. That's pretty true.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than playing Mario Kart and then all of a sudden you just get struck by lightning and then you get ran over. It's like, oh, so not only did I get run over, but I'm also tiny. That's, thank you. That's I would like this to stop now. That's how I feel about it. Do you remember that Mario? Do you remember the Mario Kart commercial with the old guy?
No.
I'm gonna send this to you because this is a core memory between some of my friends and I'll send it to you after. But it's like a really old guy playing DS and then he gets struck by a light and he goes, "Why am I so small?" And that's and that's a good question. Why am I so small? Anyways, but yeah, so this definitely is a kart racer, but I'm gonna say it. I think I actually like it more than Mario Kart.
I rocking a hard place with that one for me. I like Mario Kart's active status, if you will. Like, I like that I can just, no matter what, because Mario Kart obviously was a more popular title and CTR kind of ripped off that back in the day. But I like that knowing when I go online on Mario Kart, I know that I'm not going to struggle to find a game. You know what I mean? And then CTR kind of, like, I don't want to say it died out because I can still find games, but it lost that competitive edge that I know I can get into right away on Mario Kart. But I like CTR's cartooniness more. I don't know. I guess Mario Kart's obviously a cartoon game too, but, like, I don't know. Just CTR's so quirky in its own little way, and I think it's definitely a little gem. But I'm like 50-50. I don't like one more than the other fully, if you will.
I mean, Mario Kart will always have the GOAT status just because it's Mario Kart.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also, like, it's got that. I'm a Nintendo fanboy, so this is, you know, Mario Kart is the franchise for me that Nintendo makes that I'm just like, I just don't get it. Like, it's fun.
Really?
Like, yeah, like, it's, God, what's it? It's at like 60 million copies or something crazy.
Oh, dude,
like,
yeah, it's absolutely asinine how many copies that game sold. But, man, I feel the exact, like, opposite. Like, I do get it. I love it. It's fun.
55 million copies.
Good golly. Yeah, that's a lot, man.
And that's just deluxe. You know, I was a Wii U owner, so I had Mario Kart 8 as well. And I'm the person that bought both.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy it, but for everything we just said, it's like there's almost, to say there's no competitive, you know, nature of it is not true. Because, like, if you go against someone from Japan, you're going to get smoked. And that's just how it goes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 67.35 million. I was off by 12 million copies. That was actually just reported in December of 2024, so it just passed 67 million copies. But if you combine it with the Wii U version, it's now over 70 million. 70 million.
Yeah, that's insane.
What are we doing? But as we kind of said, like, there's a dumbing down of racing in Mario Kart 8 to where if you're pretty competent at it, like, you're gonna be top five. You know, typically you're top six or whatever. You're 6 through 12, you're 7 through 12. Either one of two things happened. You got a horrible roll and you just kept getting, you know, lightning bolted and red shelled on the last lap in the last turn. Or you're just playing Mario Kart and you don't really care about the, you know, the, whatever you want to call it, the competitive nature of it. You're just there for the fun times. Now, what I will say is like the track selection compared to CTR and this, like, the track selection of Mario Kart 8 is insanely better, but also, you know, they've been building it for what, 10 years now. So that's
yeah,
a huge
literally
thing, but
fun fact, Mario Kart 8 is the sixth highest sold game in the world. You want to take a crack at what number one would be?
I'm gonna guess GTA.
Incorrect. That comes in at number three, but the first most sold game in the world with 520 million copies is Tetris.
Okay, should have known. But I know, I'm calling BS on that because that's not a single SKU of Tetris.
I don't know. So this article says arguably the most timeless video game ever created, Tetris, is comfortably atop the list of all-time bestsellers with 520 million copies sold, according to the Tetris company. Okay, so here's where your point comes into play. That number includes sales across all available platforms, with the majority coming from mobile. 425 million paid mobile downloads as of 2014. That's crazy.
I want to know what the most single SKU is ever. But anyways, as I'm doing that. So there's a dumbing down of Mario Kart 8 that's not in CTR to where I feel like that you could actually get better at CTR. And as somebody who plays games for, I don't want to say to be competitive, but to for a skill ceiling, I feel like everybody that plays Mario Kart 8, you're almost always going to be at the same skill ceiling, and it's chance at that point. Like, what items did you get when you were taking that turn and you did a boost? Did you happen to get hit by a shell as you hit the boost? So then therefore you fell off the track, you know, like stuff like that. That doesn't really happen here. And that was pretty refreshing to it. Now, again, it needs to be in 60 frames, though. Why is it not in 60 frames?
Yeah, that was like a weird move for them. I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, I don't. It looks nice, but there's no reason for it to not be in 60 frames. But they should bring this back, though. Like, they should Nintendo's got Mario Kart. Sega's got Sega Transform Racers. Microsoft, you own this franchise. You need a kart racer. Frickin' put CTR back on give me a new one and put Master Chief in a cart.
I don't know how.
Put Marcus Fenix in a cart.
I don't know how I'd feel. Oh, you talking like not just you're talking about like Microsoft bring a kart racer to the table in general?
But it should play like this.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Like Crash World Racing, and it's all the Microsoft franchises since they own everything now. I want Doom Guy in a cart racing next to Master Chief.
That'd be cool.
And then Crash just comes up the rear, you know, and then he's got, you know, Angry Luigi, but it's Crash. That's just do it. So anyway, so wrap this up a little bit. It was just more about kart racers more than anything. So give me your 1 minute spiel on why this game is, you know, you said a little bit, but gush about the game for a minute. And I want to know exactly why you are a huge fan of this game, and then I'll do the same.
Okay, so like when it comes to stuff like this, man, I just favor I'm a very big atmospheric person when it comes to video games, and if it's cartoony to the level that CTR is, I'm diving straight in, man. Like I really enjoy the, like I said earlier, the quirkiness that CTR brings to the table. I was in love with it as a kid, and I'm just as in love with it now, man. I remember pre-ordering the game before it released on Xbox, and I think I got a bobblehead or something for it. But no, I love the mechanics of it. I love how do I put this into words? It's just different, and I almost want to say that it set out to be different. Because it was a Mario Kart competitor. That's literally what it was back in the day. And it did different well for me. I don't know, man. Maybe it's the nostalgia goggles talking, but even then, like, we sat here and we played the remake again, because I played it multiple times, but I can't fully blame it on the nostalgia goggles at that point. It's just a fun freaking time, man. You can play it competitively, or you can play it as a leisure. And I think that aspect also kind of draws me forward to it as well. Character selection was on point. The only thing that I didn't enjoy with that is the what was it, the like microtransactions for like car racers and stuff. I thought that was like a very,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, no, there is a store on that game, and you can like buy Wumpa coins. And that's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the only thing that I didn't care for. But other than that, man, it's like I boot that game up and I'm transported right back to when I was like, what, 6 or 7 or however old, young I was when I first played that game. And for that alone, I mean, it's just I love it, man. I've got a deep love for the game.
Yeah, actually, and we didn't talk too much about the characters. Like, that's the other part for me is that I'm not a Crash person. So like the fact that I can, you know, race as Cortex, it's like, okay. Whereas, like, you know, when Link showed up, I was like, I know who that is. And I want to race as him. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's a quirkiness to it. It's got that Crash feel to it. There's very much it captured that world, and that's hard to do. I mean, because, God, Sony tried, like, what, Little Big Planet Racing, and it's just not good, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just not, like, It lacks that feel to it. You know, like you said, that Little Big Planet Karting. God, that was a bad game. I don't know if you played that, but holy crap, that was a bad game. And it's strange to me that this game exists in so many ways, because like Sony was always trying to, you know, replicate some of Nintendo's biggest stuff and vice versa. But this is a super solid game, and I just didn't really anticipate that. Like I said, the biggest thing for me is, and really, like the difficulty can be a little bit annoying. And I actually didn't even know about the store or whatever. Like I saw I was getting those coins and stuff, but like I just didn't really care. I figured that was just like an in-game thing. But now that I think about it, like it said like weekend bonus, so that means it's, yep, there's like a server somewhere that it's like it's hitting a server, letting me know that it's playing on, or letting it know I'm playing on the weekend. So that's interesting that you brought that up. But anyway,
yeah,
Like the difficulty can be a little annoying, but like, man, I wish this was in 60 frames. But like, other than that, like it's got everything you want. It's fun. It's got tons of different modes. I enjoy that there's more to do than just racing with the time trials and the crystal mode. Like there's a lot to do here, and they made a Mario Kart and they tried to make it better, which is interesting. You know, typically you just get someone like, I was going to rip off Mario Kart. So the fact that they tried something new, that was Naughty Dog, I'm assuming, right? Naughty Dog probably, did Naughty Dog make the first one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna look. This is a remastered. The original was developed by Naughty Dog. That's kind of awesome, actually. And that goes back to even just like Naughty Dog was doing a whole bunch of different things back then. But that's cool that they did a spinoff and they actually decided to not just like give it to another studio, because they were even doing that back then with other IPs.
That's what I'm saying. Like it was different, but it did different so freaking well in a formula that just worked, man. Piggybacking off of kind of what you just said, like it's more than just a kart racer, and that's what makes it CTR, and that's why I love it.
Bring it back, Microsoft. So I think it's fair to say that when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, you should play this one. Check it out. Chances are you probably already have, but if for some odd reason you haven't, like I said, this was an instance to where this is a super popular game for, I mean, obviously got a remaster, but I had never played it. So it was an instance to where I could put it to the test and I had no bias at all. So, but I can confirm that no, this one deserves its praise. It's quite good. So we've had a rough year so far when it comes to Game Pass or Pass. So it's nice that we've got two passes in a row. Cause last week we talked about Avowed, and now we talked about Crash Team Racing, and we needed some passes. So when it comes to the future of this show, I'm not sure what's coming, actually. So we're gonna try to get Bronze on here a little bit more. So you and I, like, we've been talking a little bit, or you know, we've been playing the original Diablo. Or should we still do that?
I'm not opposed. I'm game to come back for it.
Yeah. So that one, what's interesting is that we've actually been checking out. At least I think we originally were gonna play Diablo, and then I didn't realize that in the little Blizzard launcher or whatever that you can actually play Diablo Hellfire, which is a very strange. The official expansion to Diablo, but it wasn't made by Blizzard. It was made by Sierra Games, and like it doesn't have online play, but like it's got some really cool quality of life stuff as well. So I thought it'd be cool to check that out, because that's, you know, I don't think a lot of people know about that, but it also is the original Diablo. Like it's that game built through and through. It's just tweaked a little bit. So as when every game now, like, you know, it's a loot pinata where there's just loot all the time, this is just a different game, and so it'd be cool to check that out. So maybe we'll check that one out. In terms of, so is it, do you keep your eye on the Game Pass library? Is that something that you do?
I'm not like sitting here like, oh, I need to check it out, but yeah, I do see when like new stuff drops and so forth.
Is there anything on that list that you're just like, I want to check that out right now?
Let me do a refresh real quick. Let me look, actually.
So what I will say is Basher has fallen into a deep game called Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader, and he's going to make me play it. And so we might talk about that one. And man, I just don't know if I've got it in me for an 80-hour game. But that might be one where we do a singular episode, and maybe out, because there's a couple games that I've played that we've never talked about. But anyways, yeah, so that's Basher's playing that. So we might do an episode on that. He also wants to do an episode on Balatro, but like, Balatro's amazing. That would be cheating.
So. I don't think I've played that.
That would be interesting. Maybe check that one out and see how you feel about it. But Balatro's real good, man.
That's that card game, right? Like, it's
correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So is there anything on that list that's jumping out at you, though?
I want to play Watch Dogs. I've never played it. Watch Dogs Legion.
You just said it. We're going to play Watch Dogs Legion. Because I'm super curious how you would feel about that game. Have you played any of them?
No, I really haven't.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You just saw, because I have played all of them.
You like them?
No, I don't.
Wow. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode if we decide to go forward with that.
I lied. I played all of them except Legion. Legion was a launch title for Series X and S and PS5. And, like, I was just so over that, like, with a lot of Ubisoft franchises. So I think it'd be interesting to check that one out simply because of they haven't made a Watch Dogs game in a long time. And I'd be curious if that was Watch Dogs Legion's actually bad as people said it was, or was it just the Assassin's Creed style burnout where we just burned out on Watch Dogs? So, yeah, we'll check that one out. And then there you go. Just like that, we've got a new game that we're going to be playing. So. So yeah, look out for that. Also hitting, so some other big ones that we're going to be paying attention to is Expedition 33, Doom the Dark Ages. Those two are on our radar that Bash and I are both super excited to play, but those are coming in a couple months. And then we already talked about Avowed, so if you want to check out that episode, we did a pretty deep dive on that one, and we had a lot to say about that, so... All right, check that out, and I think we're going to close the show. So that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with one of those games we talked about.